October 29th.
Amen.
Lord, make it a day of dispensing.
Amen.
And we praise you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
We could be here this morning.
Amen.
Lord, what a privilege.
Amen.
What an honor.
Amen.
To be here.
Amen.
To enjoy the blessing of the triune God.
Amen.
Lord, speak to us.
Amen.
Minister to us.
Amen.
The matters of life.
Amen.
The matters concerning your kingdom.
Amen.
Your heart's desire.
Amen.
To have a kingdom.
Amen.
To have a realm.
Amen.
Of the divine life.
Amen.
We can live here in the divine life.
Amen.
We pray for your speaking.
Amen.
Speak to our brother Ed.
Amen.
Words of life.
Amen.
Words that minister life.
Amen.
Lord, we give this meeting to you.
Amen.
Cleanse us with your precious blood.
Amen.
Open our being to you.
Amen.
Bring us a pure heart.
Amen.
So we may see you.
Amen.
Thank you. You are here.
Amen.
The kingdom is here.
Amen.
Oh, we'd like to be in the reality of the kingdom.
Amen.
Receiving your speaking.
Amen.
Oh, to grow in us.
Amen.
Well, Saints, my name is Ed Marks, and I'm from Southern California, where it's just a tad bit warmer. So I'm glad to be with you this weekend. Now, you can see what we're going to talk about is living in the reality of the kingdom of God. And Saints, this is a topic, a great topic in the scriptures, and we shouldn't take this for granted in any way. Even if I were to ask you, well, what is the kingdom of God? I don't know how many would really know what the kingdom of God is. You know, if you look at Acts 1:3, it says that after the Lord's resurrection, he presented himself alive after his suffering by many irrefutable proofs, appearing to them through a period of 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. So he had a 40-day conference where he spoke the things concerning the kingdom of God. We don't have a record of that, but we do have a record in the scriptures of the things concerning the kingdom of God, especially in Matthew, especially in Matthew. Now, before we start into the outline, I would just like to say this in a general way. We'll see the kingdom of God from the aspect of life. This is my burden this morning. But we can also say that the kingdom of God is the rule of God within us.
Amen.
It's the rule of God within us. It's the reign of God within us. It's the rule of God and reign of God over us. So he rules and reigns within us. He rules and reigns through us. He rules and reigns over us. And he rules in us over Satan, sin, and death.
Amen.
And he rules through us over Satan, sin, and death. He doesn't rule through us over our roommates. That's not the way he rules, right? He rules through us and in us over ourselves, over our inner being, so that he can defeat and display his victory over Satan, sin, and death. Now, I would just like to share three verses with you that are very practical concerning the kingdom and concerning living in the kingdom, and then I'll get into the outline. You know, Romans 14:17 says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking,
Amen.
But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So if we want to be in the kingdom of God, we need to be in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And where's the Holy Spirit at? The Holy Spirit is in our spirit.
Amen.
So if we're going to enjoy the kingdom of God this weekend and be in the reality of the kingdom of God, we must exercise our spirit. We must exercise our spirit. So the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Then if you combine this verse, Romans 14:17, with 1 Corinthians 12:3b, it says, no one can say Jesus is Lord or Lord Jesus except in the Holy Spirit. So when you say Lord Jesus, you're in the Holy Spirit. When you say, Lord Jesus, you're in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So if we want to be in the kingdom of God, what should we say?
Lord Jesus.
Very good, very good. Saints, don't graduate from calling on the name of the Lord. If you graduate from calling on the name of the Lord, you have just graduated into a coffin. So don't graduate from calling on the Lord's name. I hope we all began this morning. This morning when I come to the East Coast, it's very difficult because you wake up at 6 a.m. It's 3 a.m. on the East Coast, you know, and you can feel it. You can feel it. But I'm so glad that when the alarm went off, I didn't say, oh, no. But I said, oh, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. And it's good to say, Lord Jesus, thank you.
Amen.
It's good to say, add thank you to that. You know, then we're in the reality of the kingdom of God. Now, there's some other portions I'd like to just mention to you. Again, if we're going to see the reality of the kingdom of God, we have to be in our spirit. If you look at the book of Revelation, there are four visions in the book of Revelation. One is the vision of the churches as the golden lampstands with the Son of Man walking in the midst of the golden lampstands. Another in chapter 4 is the vision of the world situation, Then in chapter 17, you have the vision of Babylon the Great, a terrible religious system that holds people back from enjoying God in Christ as the Spirit, as the reality of the economy of God. And then in Revelation 21, you have the vision concerning the New Jerusalem. All of those visions you see in spirit. John says in Revelation 1:10, he said, I was in spirit on the Lord's day. And so he was in spirit, and on the Lord's day, the Lord showed him the vision of the golden lampstands with the Son of Man walking in the midst of the golden lampstands in ascension, Now, in Revelation 4, 1 and 2, I like these verses. In Revelation 4, 2, John again was in his spirit when he saw the vision of the world situation. In Revelation 17, 3, John was in his spirit when he saw the revelation of the great Babylon. In Revelation 21, 10, John was in his spirit when he saw the vision of the New Jerusalem, Saints, I have good news for you. I don't know what your situation is right now. I don't know, maybe you're real tired. I don't know how you slept last night. But I know that you have a good ending.
Amen.
I can just look at the end of the Bible, and all of us will eventually become the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
So that's our destiny. Now, in Revelation 4, 1 and 2, this is very striking, these verses to me, because there's a voice from the heavens that says to John, come up here, come up here, come up to the third heavens. Well, how do we come up there? How do we do that? Come up here, and I will show you the things that must take place after these things. And then it says this. Here's what the scripture says. Immediately, I was in spirit. So the way to come up there, don't you want to go up there today?
Amen.
Go up there this weekend. We have to be in our spirit.
Amen.
In our spirit. Immediately, I was in spirit. Now listen to this. Then it says, and there was a throne set in heaven. There was a throne set in heaven. So when we want to enter into the third heavens to see the vision of the world situation, we have to be in our spirit. We come up there. And then the first thing that we touch is the throne of God.
Amen.
We're under God's rule. We're under God's reign when we're in our spirit. He said, behold, there was a throne set in heaven. And he says, and there was one sitting upon the throne. In other words, you're not on the throne anymore when you're in your spirit. You have been dethroned. You've been dethroned, and God in Christ as the Spirit is the unique one on the throne. Now, just one more portion, and then we'll get into the outline. And this is in Ezekiel. We're going to have our training, our winter training on Ezekiel. And believe it or not, how many of you are going to the winter training? Could you raise your hand? Oh, my goodness, that's wonderful. You know, we're going to have 7 or 8 messages just on Ezekiel chapter 1.
Wow.
Ezekiel 1 is just full of crystals, you know. You have one crystal called the wind, the cloud, the fire, and the electrum. I mean, what is that, you know? And then you have one concerning the high and awesome wheels, And there's eyes all around the rim of the wheels. And what is that? You know, I mean, it's just awesome, really awesome. And but anyway, one of the visions in chapter 1 is in Ezekiel 1, verses 22 and 26. And what you have in Ezekiel 1, 22 and 26 is you have a clear sky, like awesome crystal, with the throne of God above it. And this is the highest point in our spiritual experience. The highest point in our spiritual experience is to have a clear sky in our being with God's throne above it, with God's throne above it. So the four living creatures who represent the coordinated body of Christ, they coordinate together, they have a clear sky above them. That means there's nothing between them and the Lord. Saints, you know, before you leave this place this weekend, I would encourage you in your inner being, you know, touch the Lord and deal with the Lord so that there's nothing between you and Him.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing between you and Him. You have a clear sky. Our sky is connected to our conscience. And you have a clear sky between the brothers and sisters. You know, there's nothing between you and the Lord. There's nothing between you and any brother or sister. You know, sometimes if there's something between us and another brother, or maybe I like this. What is your name, brother?
Kevin.
Maybe I like Kevin. So Kevin prays, and I go, amen. Amen. I give a loud amen. Then what is your name, brother?
Tim.
Then Tim prays. But Tim offended me 10 years ago. And I still haven't forgot it. So when Tim prays, I just go, amen. Because I'm still holding on to that offense. He doesn't know it. But there's still something between me and him which is not good. Saints, have a clear sky between you and the Lord.
Amen.
And between you and every brother and sister.
Amen.
Then you will enjoy the Lord to the uttermost. And you will be under the throne of God. And that throne of God is a sapphire throne. Sapphire is blue, which means a heavenly condition, a heavenly situation, a heavenly appearance, and the heavenly presence of the man on the throne. There's a man on the throne, and that man is the God-man Jesus.
Amen.
He's on the throne. He's in our being on the throne. You see, there's a clear sky in our being, and above that clear sky, there's a sapphire throne with a man on the throne. Ruling and reigning within us. That's what we want. We need to pray, Lord, give me a clear sky with you on the throne in my inner being.
Amen.
It's a great thing. Then that's the highest point in our spiritual experience. Then the Lord has a way to transmit through us his rule on the earth. We become the transmitters of his rule and reign on the earth.
Amen.
So anyway, I just mentioned those three portions of the word. Now, I come to Roman numeral 1, and in Roman numeral 1, it's a very simple definition of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is profound, but the definition is very simple. It's very simple. Roman numeral 1 says, the kingdom of God, the reign of God, is the totality of Christ being life to us with all his activities. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's the totality of Christ being life to us with all his activities. Now, why do we say that? Why do we say that? Well, look at A. A is very logical and very wonderful. It says a kingdom is the totality of a certain life.
Amen.
The plant life is the plant kingdom. Am I right?
Right?
The plant life is the plant kingdom. The animal life is the animal kingdom. And the human life is the human kingdom. In the same way, the divine life is the divine kingdom, God's kingdom. So the divine life is the divine kingdom, God's kingdom. Who is the divine life? We have in parentheses here. The divine life is God's life, and God's life is Christ himself.
Amen.
Christ said, I am the Zoe.
Right.
He's the Zoe life. He's the divine, eternal, uncreated, indissoluble, indestructible, wonderful, stupendous, awesome life of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the kingdom of God is Christ himself.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is the divine life. Just as the plant life is the plant kingdom, the animal life is the animal kingdom, and God's life is God's kingdom, the divine kingdom. And God's life is Christ himself. So Christ himself is the reality of the kingdom of God. If we're going to live in the reality of the kingdom of God, we have to live in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, and with Christ. And we have to let Christ rule in us, with us, and through us. Then we're in the reality of the kingdom of God. Now, how do we get into the kingdom of God? Well, you know, the way to get into the animal kingdom is you have to be born as an animal, right? Maybe that's a bad illustration. But if I'm going to enter into the tiger kingdom, I can't just get on all fours, right, and paint myself. We went to a restaurant last night, and people were painted with all kinds of different colors. It was just, you just had to call on the Lord, you know. I'm so glad to see no paint here this morning. You know? If I'm going to be in the tiger, kingdom of the tigers, I have to be born as a tiger, right? Well, if I'm going to enter into the kingdom of God, I have to be born of God. I have to be born of God. I have to be born of the Spirit. So it said, the Lord says this, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water signifies termination. Spirit signifies germination. So when you believe into Christ, you are terminated by him in your natural life, and you are germinated with the divine life, and you are born of God.
Amen.
And you have entered into the kingdom of God. Saints, all of us are in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
If you're not sure you're in the kingdom of God or you're not, if you're not sure whether or not you're in the kingdom of God, see Ricky Acosta after the meeting. He's over here. He'll make sure you're in the kingdom of God. And actually, any of these brothers, but I'm just pointing out Ricky back here. Okay. Saints, it's wonderful when we're born of God, we enter into another kingdom. We enter into the kingdom of God. And we are God's children, God's children. It's absolutely wonderful. Now, B says, the kingdom in its reality is the Lord Jesus as the Spirit. The Lord Jesus as the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:7, it says, the Lord is the Spirit, is the Spirit. You know, some opposers, they say this about this verse. They don't want to admit that Christ is the Spirit. So they'll say, well, the Lord here refers to God in a general sense, like God is Spirit. But if you go just about six verses later, six verses later, verse 18, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5, in chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says, we preach Christ Jesus as Lord. So Christ Jesus, the Lord, is the Spirit.
Amen.
He's the Spirit. So the Lord is the Spirit. Then in Matthew 12:28, the Lord says, if I by the Spirit of God cast out the demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So the Lord as the Spirit is the kingdom in its reality. And when he cast out demons, he did it by the Spirit. This is Matthew 12:28 is actually a marvelous verse because it shows that the Lord was in coordination with the Father and the Spirit. He did everything for the kingdom of God, the Father, and he did everything by the Spirit.
Amen.
So he did everything by another one. He did everything for another one. Amen. He did everything by the Spirit of God for the kingdom of God, the Father. That's a wonderful coordination in the triune God. Now C says, just as the plant kingdom is a realm of the plant species and the animal kingdom is a realm of the animal species, so the kingdom of God is a realm of the divine species. Isn't that wonderful? We are in the divine species. We're part of another species. One says God became flesh to enter into the human species, and man becomes God in life and nature, but not in his divine God to enter into the divine species. Now two says, in order to enter into the divine realm, the realm of the divine species, we need to be born of God to have the divine nature and the divine life. And when you're born of God and you have the divine nature and the divine life, you become a very mysterious person. Now, I don't know, you know, your friends or colleagues, you know, they may wonder, what are you doing here on Saturday? There's lots of things. People are doing lots of things on Saturday, right? But we're here. We're here, why? Because we're enjoying God.
Amen.
Nothing is higher than enjoying God and contacting God, right? And experiencing and enjoying God. But we're a mystery to the people around us. They can't understand why we would be here on a Saturday or why we would have a meeting on a Friday night. You know, I shared this with you before, those of you who know me, that when I first got saved, it was Friday night. And, you know, in college, Friday night is like, it's Friday night. You know what I mean? It's Friday night. Even you have a restaurant called TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. It's not TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. You know, so everyone in college, you know, that are unbelievers, they wait for Friday. So Friday night was a big night. Well, I had gotten saved. I got regenerated. I became part of the divine species. And then one Friday night, I was reading my Bible, and I was drinking a glass of milk. And all of a sudden, I stopped, and I looked at the milk, and I looked at my Bible, and I said, what has happened to me? What has happened to me? Well, what happened to me was I got another life inside of me. You know, then I went, praise the Lord, something has happened to me. But I got born of God. So I wanted to drink milk and read the Bible. Praise the Lord. Okay, in John 3:3-8. Again, the Lord says, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, to see the kingdom of God is to enter into the kingdom of God. Then he said this. He says, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. Then the Lord says this. Listen to this. He says, the wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So all of us are like the wind. All of us are like the wind. People don't know where we're coming from or where we're going to. The wind is something that's recognized, but it's beyond understanding. So we become a mystery. We become a mystery. We're just like the wind. We blow like the wind. We go as the wind goes. The wind signifies the Spirit. Okay, now 2 Peter 1:4 says that when we got regenerated, we became partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. And a partaker of the divine nature is an enjoyer of the divine nature. An enjoyer of the divine nature. Now, we take for granted sometimes we say the divine nature, but what do we mean when we say the divine nature? What do we mean when we say this? Well, you could say this table is wood. That's its nature. This table is wood. In the same way, we have to know what God is. God's divine nature is what God is. What God is. And the scriptures tell us, firstly, John 4:24, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in reality. So God is spirit. That's the nature of God's person. The nature of God's person. He is spirit. And saints, again, saints, I just love this. We can contact God.
Amen.
With our spirit.
Amen.
God is spirit, and we can worship him and contact him in our spirit and with our spirit. That is a great, great thing. We came here this weekend to contact God in our spirit.
Amen.
If you come here this weekend and you don't contact God, then the weekend's a zero, right? We're here to contact God in our spirit.
Amen.
Then in 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. God is love. Now, 1 John 4:8-16, God is love. Love is the nature of God's essence, the nature of God's essence. So to partake of the divine nature is to partake of God as love. God as love. And saints, I don't know how you feel or how you felt. You know, when I got born again, or when you get revived, maybe you've been out of it and you get revived again, you just get filled with love for the Lord.
Amen.
Because you're a partaker of the divine nature. And one of the things of the divine nature is God is love.
Amen.
God is love. I still remember it was so distinct to me. When I got born again, I loved my boss. And no one loved my boss. No one loved my boss. But I just began to love my boss and pray for him. And I remember seeing the pigeons in the park. I loved the pigeons. You know, people don't like pigeons. They make a big mess, you know. But I was just filled with love for the Lord and love for the Lord's children and just love for everything positive in the universe, you know. And that's to be a partaker of the divine nature. Now, if we're going to be a partaker of the divine nature in 1 John, we need to be in the fellowship of the divine life. That's the subject of 1 John. And the fellowship of the divine life is the flow of the divine life. So we need to take care of that flow of life within us. Take care of the flow of life within us. Make sure you have the flow of life in you. If you don't have the flow of life in you, get it back. Get it back. That's why we need to confess our sins. That's why we need to say, I'm sorry to others. You know, when you're married, one of the big secrets of a marriage life is to just say these words, I'm sorry, forgive me. I'm sorry, forgive me. I have to say that a lot in my marriage life. I'm sorry, forgive me. Then when you say, I'm sorry, forgive me, then the flow comes back. The flow comes back. So we need to say that to one another too. So we need to keep in the nature of God who is love. Who is love, the nature of God's essence. Now, 1 John 1:5 says, God is light. God is light. That's the nature of God's expression. And again, this is from 1 John. 1 John is on the fellowship of the divine life. The fellowship of the divine life is the flow of the divine life. So we need to stay in that flow. Just like these lights, they're in the flow of electricity. And because they're in the flow of electricity, they're shining. They're shining. And saints, when you are in the flow of the divine life, you are shining.
Amen.
You are shining. You know, when I share, I always like to see shining faces. You know, don't you? If you were up here, wouldn't you like to see a shining face? You know, we really need to, should shine. I don't mean we should fake it.
Right.
We shouldn't fake it.
Right.
But if we're in the flow of the divine life, we'll be shining.
Amen.
We'll be shining. Right. You know, my dad got saved toward the end of his life. He was elderly when he got saved. And before he got saved, I brought him to the brother's house, and I was real nervous. What are the brothers going to do to my dad? You know what I mean? Are they going to blow him out of the water, or what are they going to do? Well, they were so Jesusly human with him. You know, they cherished him in the Lord's divine presence. They nourished him. He was so touched with all of them that when he walked out of that house, he said to my mother, he said, Dorothy, I've never seen people like that in my life. They are shining. And he was an unbeliever. But as an unbeliever, he had the consciousness that the saints were shining. The saints were shining. So we should give off that. We should be shining people.
Amen.
Because we have God as light in us. Okay, now number three says, by regeneration we have become God-men in the divine species, that is, in the kingdom of God. So because we become God-men, we participate in God's divinity. That means we partake of God's divinity for our enjoyment. We partake of his life, his nature, his expression. We talked about all of these with the divine nature. Okay, now Roman numeral 2 says, the kingdom of God is Christ himself as the seed of life sown into his believers, God's chosen people, and developing into a realm over which God can rule as his kingdom in his divine life. In Luke 17, 20 and 21, this says he was questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming. And he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, the kingdom of God is not material. It's spiritual. He says, nor will they say, behold, here it is or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you.
Amen.
What he was saying, what the Lord was saying is because I'm in your midst, the kingdom of God is in your midst.
Amen.
So the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Now, since his resurrection, he has been within his believers. So because he lives within us, the kingdom of God is not just among us. The kingdom of God is within us.
Amen.
That is good news, very good news. Now, Mark 4:26, and we'll mention this verse probably a number of times. In this verse, the Lord says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man casts seed on the earth, So that's the seed of the kingdom, the gene of the kingdom. We could call it the gene of the kingdom. A gene is a, I wrote this down what a gene is. Somewhere I wrote it down. A gene is a hereditary unit that occupies a specific location on a chromosome. I'm not sure what that means. I'm sure a lot of you do. And determines a particular characteristic in an organism. But anyway, it's a hereditary unit that determines particular characteristics in an organism. So we have the seed of the King of Kings in our spirit. So if we allow him to grow in us, then we will become him in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. We will be Christified. We will grow with him. He will grow in us, and we will become the same as he is in life and nature, So again, it's marvelous that we have the seed of the kingdom within us. We have the gene of the kingdom within us. Now, if you had the gene of, let's say, the royal family in England. You know, there's a royal family in England. I don't know if the next person's going to be king. I'm not sure. They have a queen. Is the next one a queen? A king?
I think it's a king.
Oh, next one is a king. Charles. Okay. So Charles is going to be the king. Okay. Now, just think if you had Charles's DNA, you had the same gene, you would probably walk around here like, you just might, you know, of course, if you're really in the Lord, you wouldn't do that, right? But you would be, wow, I've got the gene of the king in me, gene of the king. But we have the gene of the King of Kings in us, the King of Kings. You know, in Revelation 11, I believe it's verse 15, it says, he will reign forever and ever. Christ will reign forever and ever. Then if you come to Revelation 22:5, it says, we will reign forever and ever. So not only will he reign forever and ever, but we will be his co-kings, and we will reign forever and ever with him. Now, there's a story that this brother who I'm close to in California, Andrew Yu, he told me this story, that when Handel's Messiah was first sung in the king's presence, you know, Handel's Messiah is all scripture. It's all scripture. And so he put music to lots of scripture about the Lord's birth, the Lord's coming, the Lord's human living. And he said when he wrote that oratorio, the heavens opened up to him. You can imagine, he's singing the Bible all the time, you know, and writing music to the Bible. Well, the last chorus and the last word says, how does it say? It goes, he shall reign forever and ever. I won't sing it, so you don't know what the word. He shall reign forever and ever. And it just keeps repeating it. Well, there's a tradition that people stand up at the end.
Yeah.
Everybody stands up at the end of this oratorio. Well, the king, the story behind it is this, is that the king was listening to it, and as the last stanza was being sung, the king stood up. And everyone looked, they said, the king stood up, we better stand up. You know, so they stood up. But they wondered why the king stood up. And so someone asked the king afterwards, why did you stand up? He said, I'm the king, but he's the King of Kings. Isn't that wonderful? So we have the gene of the King of Kings in our spirit.
Amen.
That's why when you say the word regenerated, you have the word gene in there. Regenerated, right? We've been regenerated. We have another gene in us. So A says the entrance into the kingdom is regeneration, and the development of the kingdom is the believer's growth in the divine life. So the kingdom develops in us by us growing in the divine life. And saints, every day you could pray a simple prayer. You could say, Lord Jesus, grow in me today. We have a hymn in our hymnal that says, Lord Jesus Christ, grow thou in me, and all things else recede. That's a good hymn to pray over. We should pray, Lord Jesus, grow in me today. Grant me this day's growth in life. You know, it's hard to see someone's growth in life like from one day to the next, right? But if you come back 5 years later, you can see their growth. You can see their growth. Wow. I'm sorry. I was thinking about my dog. You know, I've got a dog, and he grew so fast. It was unbelievable. I mean, he was a little puppy, and he just grew. Not like a human, you know what I mean? He just grew so fast. We can't grow like that. We can't grow like that in the divine life. We grow little by little, little by little. Everything in the spiritual realm is little by little. You gain the truth by getting into the truth little by little, little by little. There's a lot of truth in the scripture. If you look in one of the elders' training books, this is just a little sidebar here. One of the headings says, the tortoise wins the race. If you look at any theological book, where can you find a heading that says the tortoise wins the race? But it says that, the tortoise wins the race. Because our brother's point is that with the truth, the tortoise does win the race. You have to be consistently in the Bible. You have to, every day you need to be in the Bible. Every day you should read the Bible. You should pray read the Bible. You see, and then day by day, you accumulate the truth in your being, and the tortoise wins the race. The rabbit doesn't win the race. The rabbit goes fast. You know the whole story. The rabbit runs, then he just relaxes, then here comes the tortoise, and he crosses the finish line, and the rabbit, oh, no, he wakes up, and it's too late. It's too late. We shouldn't be like the rabbit. We should be like the hare, rather, H-A-R-E. We should be like the tortoise, right? Little by little, we grow in life. Now, B says, the kingdom is the church life today in which the faithful believers live, and it will develop into the coming kingdom as a reward to be inherited by the overcoming saints in the millennium. So the kingdom is the church life today in which the faithful believers live, and it will develop into the coming kingdom as a reward to be inherited by the overcoming saints in the millennium. So eventually, you know, we said that verse about the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the church life. The church, talking about the church life there. The church life as the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Then in Revelation 24, in the next age, it says this. It says that the overcomers, they will live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Saints, this is what we're here for in the recovery. Is we want to be the bride of Christ. We don't want to just be the wife of Christ. You know, we'll all be the wife of Christ eventually, forever and ever. But to be the bride is only one day. Only one day you can be the bride. And in 2 Peter it says, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. So that wedding day is 1,000 years, is 1,000 years. So that 1,000-year kingdom will be our wedding day. Saints, we are here to be there on that wedding day. I want to see all of you on that wedding day. And I hope you see me on that wedding day. We want to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. The wedding day, those of us who are married can testify, the wedding day is a very special day, very special day. Now, Revelation 26 says they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Again, you have the reigning with Christ in the millennium for 1,000 years. And this is what we're here for in the recovery. Saints, always remember that what distinguishes us from every other group is we're here to be the bride of Christ. We're here to be Christ's bride. We're not here to be nominal Christians, just going through the motions, right? We're here to seek the Lord with all our heart, love him with all our heart, so that we can become Christ's overcoming bride, his overcomers. And to be an overcomer is not to be a super Christian. An overcomer is a normal Christian. An overcomer is a normal Christian. An overcomer is a normal Christian in an abnormal situation. Everything out there is abnormal. We want to be normal. We want to be normal. So it's normal to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. But before I came into the recovery, I didn't know to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. In fact, I remember the brother who brought me to my first meeting. He said, Ed, these people will stand up and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I said, really? I said, wow, I never heard of such a thing. But it's normal to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. How about we say, Lord Jesus, I love you right now? Lord Jesus, I love you. You know, it is very difficult to say, Lord Jesus, I love you, and not smile. You really have to try hard. You really have to try hard. But when you say, Lord Jesus, I love you, you sense the sweetness of his presence. And you have an appreciation of his loving presence. Now, C says, eventually the kingdom will consummate in the New Jerusalem as the eternal kingdom of God, an eternal realm of the eternal blessing of God's eternal life, which all God's redeemed will enjoy in the new heaven and new earth for eternity, for eternity. So eventually all of us will be the holy city, the New Jerusalem. Christ will be our husband. We will be his wife. We'll be enjoying the Father as the light of life, the Son as the tree of life, and the Spirit as the river of life. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in us. We will serve him as slaves. We will see his face. And his name will be on our foreheads. His name will be on our foreheads. That means we've become him. His name is like a name badge on your forehead. It says God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. Okay, now Revelation 22:14 can apply to us today. It says, blessed are those who wash their robes. Saints, the word blessed means happy. Happy are those who wash their robes. When you wash your robes in the precious blood of Jesus, you are happy. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life. Saints, let's exercise our right to eat the tree of life this weekend. We have the cleansing blood. We can eat the tree of life. And we can enter by the gates into the city. And the city, the New Jerusalem, is the ultimate mingling of God with man. So when we eat the tree of life, we enter into the mingling of God with man. And so this is what we need to do this weekend even. Now, Roman numeral 3 says, he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man casts seed on the earth. We shared this before, but this is a big verse. A says, this seed is the seed of the divine life sown into the believers, indicating that the kingdom of God, which is the issue and goal of the Lord's gospel and the church in this age, are a matter of life. The life of God which sprouts, grows, bears fruit, and produces a harvest. So this is the seed of the kingdom. It's the seed of the divine life sown into us. And this indicates that the kingdom of God, which is the issue and goal of the Lord's gospel and the church in this age, are a matter of the life of God, which sprouts, grows, bears fruit, and produces a harvest. Now, in 1 Corinthians 3:6 and 9, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. Saints, because we have the seed of the kingdom with us, we need water. We need watering. And so, you know, in Anaheim, California, in Southern California, I'm sure you know by looking at the news, we hardly get any rain. Yesterday, it rained all day. I think someone told me it rained all day in New York yesterday. And even one of the planes of the vice presidential candidate ran off the runway. And Bill was concerned for me that my plane might be right behind him. But it wasn't. I went to JFK. I didn't go to LaGuardia. So anyway, Saints, here's my point. Okay, I'm coming back to the point. Here's my point. There are sprinklers in the meeting. There are sprinklers in every meeting. And we get watered in every meeting. And saints, sometimes a brother or sister will be a big sprinkler, right? I water. You know, you have those big sprinklers. If you go to Kansas and you look at the wheat harvest, and they're growing wheat, they have these huge sprinklers that just water the whole wheat field. And sometimes you see brothers like this. They just, you know, and And sometimes I might stand up and I'm just like, shoo, shoo. You know what I mean? Just, but the person who next to me gets watered.
Amen.
The person next to me gets watered. So whenever we stand up, we should have the aspiration, Lord, I want to water the saints with you.
Amen.
And when we water the saints, they grow in life. God causes the growth. God causes the growth. Okay, in Revelation 14:4, you have the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. They ripen first. Then in Revelation 14:15-16, you have the harvest. The harvest is at the end. The harvest of the earth is ripe. Is ripe. Now B says, the triune God in humanity is the seed, the gene of the kingdom of God, to be sown into God's chosen people, that he might grow in them, live in them, and be expressed from within them to develop into God's ruling realm. Into God's ruling realm. And saints, in Mark 4, we've got verse 26, which we read. Verse 28 says, the earth bears fruit by itself, first a blade, then an ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the fruit is ripe, immediately he sends forth the sickle, because the harvest has come. What this shows is the spontaneity of the growth of the seed. When you water the seed, which we'll talk about in the next session about our human heart and the seed of life growing in our human heart as the soil, then there's a spontaneity of the growth of the seed. And saints, another thing we need to do when we want the seed to grow in us, the seed of the divine life, the seed of the triune God in us, we have to read the Bible every day. Make sure and read your Bible. You know, before I was saved, my mom sent me a Bible. She was praying for me. And that Bible just stood on my bookshelf. It had gold leaf to it, you know. And it just all stuck together because I never opened it. I never opened it. But now my Bibles are all worn out. You know, is it Cambridge Press that does our Bibles? They used to, right?
Yeah.
They used to. Cambridge used to have a policy that if your Bible wore out, they would give you a free Bible because their Bibles were manufactured so good. Well, with us, they stopped their policy. They said, these people, they read the Bible so much that we're just going to be giving out all kinds of Bibles. So they just stopped their policy with us, you know. But saints, read your Bible. It will transform you.
Amen.
Read your Bible in a spirit and atmosphere of prayer. And you'll be transformed. Don't go a day without reading the Bible. Without reading the Bible. You know, one time, this was in the jungles of Central America, there was this native of the jungle. He was reading his Bible in the jungle. And this man saw him reading his Bible. This man was an unbeliever. He started mocking him about reading his Bible. Well, that man didn't know that that person used to be a cannibal. Used to be a cannibal. And so the person said to him, sir, if I hadn't been reading this Bible, you would have been inside of me already. Listen, all of us, we're devourers, right? We have to read our Bible every day. In a spirit and atmosphere of prayer, that makes us proper God-men. That makes us proper God-men. You know, of course, I've shared this before. I'm always so touched that when the astronauts, when they circled the moon, they read the Bible to the whole world. They read Genesis 1 to the whole world. Can you imagine? They got a Bible up there somehow. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Times Square, everyone was watching. They were listening to Genesis 1. Can you imagine? Listen, I really believe the Lord took them up there just to read the Bible to the whole world. Because there's nothing there. Even if you land on the moon, you know, I went to the Smithsonian Institute and there was a big line to touch the moon rock. And so I stood there. I said, I want to touch the moon rock. So I touched the moon rock. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. I mean, there's nothing to it, right? But to go toward the moon and read the Bible to the whole world, that is really something. That is really something. So read your Bible every day. Don't take your Bible for granted. Bill knows, Bill Lawson knows that in Russia, because he served there for so many years, that when we preach the gospel in big gospel meetings, we would hand out Bibles to the new ones. And it was the first time for most of them that they ever held a Bible in their hands, right, Bill? And the brothers would say, how many of you have a Bible in your hands for the first time? And almost everyone in the audience raised their hand. And I remember I was in some of those meetings, I was just in tears because they treasured that Bible so much. And it was the first time they ever held a Bible in their hands. And I just was convicted by the Lord. I take my Bible for granted. But here is a group of people who they treasure the Bible, you know, because the Bible was illegal for them to have. But now they can have a Bible. We need to pray for Russia. We need to continue to pray for Russia. You know, that it would stay open. Stay open. Okay, one says, the intrinsic element of the entire teaching of the New Testament is that the triune God has been incarnated in order to be sown into his chosen people and develop within them into a kingdom. Two says, God's goal is the full development of the kingdom of God. A says, in the Gospels, we have the sowing of the seed, the gene of the kingdom. B says, in Acts, we have the propagation and spreading of this sowing by thousands of sowers who had received the seed, the gene of the kingdom. C says, in the epistles, we see the growing of the seed, the gene of the kingdom. Then D says, the harvest of the seed is found in the book of Revelation with the reaping of the first fruits and the harvest. Then we come to E. E says, the millennial kingdom will be the uttermost development of the seed, the gene of the kingdom, with the Son as the king and all the overcomers as his co-kings, the kingdom gene people. That's who we are. We are the kingdom gene people. F says, the New Jerusalem, God's eternal kingdom, is the fullest development of the kingdom seed, the gene, sown by Jesus the Nazarene in the four Gospels. Then finally, C says this, as the stone cut out without hands, this is from Daniel 2, 34 and 35, as the stone cut out without hands, Christ will come as the smiting stone with his overcoming bride to smash and crush the entire human government of mankind, and the corporate Christ, Christ with his overcomers, will become a great mountain, a great kingdom, the eternal kingdom of God, to fill the whole earth forever and ever. And we know that in Daniel 2, that Nebuchadnezzar had this dream of this great human image. And he wanted the wise men and the conjurers to tell him what he dreamt, because he was scared to death when he had this dream. And if you look at the life study says he forgot what he dreamt. He forgot what he dreamt. So he wanted them to tell him his dream and then give him the interpretation of the dream. And they said, oh, king, no one can tell you what you dreamt. He said, okay, if you don't tell me what I dreamt, all of you are done for. You're done for. So the word came to Daniel, and it says Daniel went to his companions. It says Daniel in verse 13, Daniel 2:13, it uses this term, his companions, his companions. And his companions were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We always go by the Babylonian names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But those are Babylonian names. Those are names after Babylonian gods. But their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they're very significant, their names. Well, Daniel got a vision in the night, and he saw that this great human image signifies human government all the way from Nebuchadnezzar to Christ's second coming. And so, you see the head of fine gold, which is Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire. You see the breasts and arms of silver, which is the Medo-Persian Empire. Then you see the abdomen and thighs of bronze, which is Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire. Then you see the legs of iron and the feet partly of iron and partly of clay, which is the Roman Empire and the revived Roman Empire, which is part autocracy and part democracy. So eventually that stone, Christ and the overcomers, comes from the heavens, smites the feet of that great human image, And the whole human image is crushed and becomes like the chaff from the summer threshing floor. The wind blows it away so that no trace of human government is found. And that stone becomes a great mountain, the kingdom of God that fills the whole earth.
Amen.
That's what we're going to do. We want to come back with the Lord to smite that great human image.
Amen.
And become the kingdom of God that fills the whole earth.
Right.
Okay, one says in Mark 4:26, Christ was sown as a seed to be the kingdom of God, but he grows in his increase to become a stone, the increased kingdom of God. He will increase further and further until he becomes a great mountain, the eternal kingdom of God, for his increase in administration. Two says the stone refers to Christ as the centrality and the mountain refers to him as the universality. Now, Roman numeral 4 is very precious, and I have to watch my time. But even if I just have to read this, I hope you get something, if I just can read it. In order to be the proper people to receive Christ as the seed of the kingdom, we need to have the living vision and the living guidance from him as the heavenly star. We have a book called Finding Christ Through the Living Star, Through the Living Star. And of course, the Magi, they saw this star in the heavens. And this star led them to Christ. This star led them to Christ. Of course, they made a mistake and they went to Jerusalem. And Herod was there with the scribes. And the scribes knew where Christ was going to be born. They quoted Micah 5:2, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. But they had the verse, but they didn't go to Bethlehem. They should have gone to Bethlehem with the Magi. But they didn't do that. Eventually, the Magi, they left Herod and the scribes, and it says when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And this star leads you to Christ.
Amen.
It's the living presence of Christ, the living spirit of Christ that leads you to Christ. It's wonderful. So eventually this star led them to Christ and they worshiped him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, A says, even if we have the knowledge of the scriptures, we still need the instant, up-to-date, living star with the living guidance to lead us to the very place where Jesus is. B says, if we want such indispensable living guidance, we must have an intimate relationship with the Lord. We must be one with him. C says, after they worship Jesus in the house, the Magi were divinely instructed in a dream not to return to Herod, so they departed by another way to their country. After we have seen the living Christ, we never take the same way, but we always take another way. And I heard this was shared last night in the meeting. Saints, after this weekend, I hope we all would take another way.
Amen.
We all would take a new way to experience Christ in a new way and in a fresh way. Okay, D says, the scripture is God's holy writings, but we still need God's holy presence. We need to be in the presence of God all the time. The New Testament way to find and follow the Lord is to continually keep and stay in his hidden presence. In Exodus 33:14, the Lord promised Moses, he said, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. We need to claim this promise. Now, he says, Christ's faithful followers and messengers become living and shining stars by the shining prophetic word of the scriptures and by the sevenfold intensified spirit. Saints, we all need to be stars.
Amen.
And I don't mean Hollywood stars. I mean living and shining. You know, Hollywood stars are just good to walk on. You know, you have that walk in Hollywood. They're just good to walk on. Okay. But we want to be living and shining stars who live in ascension and who are intensely shining, intensely burning, and intensely living with the Lord. We want to be these kind of stars by the shining prophetic word of the scriptures and by the sevenfold intensified spirit. Okay, I'll go on. Roman numeral 5 says we need to live the kingdom life for the growth of the seed, the gene of the kingdom within us. In order to be in the reality of the kingdom, we must be joint partakers in the tribulation, kingdom, and endurance in Jesus. All of this is in Jesus. The tribulation in Jesus. The kingdom in Jesus. The endurance in Jesus. One says we are joint partakers in the tribulation in Jesus. In Jesus means that we are suffering and being persecuted as we follow Jesus the Nazarene by the indwelling spirit of Jesus. The spirit of a man with abundant strength for suffering. So it's wonderful. We might be suffering, but we have the spirit of a man in us with abundant strength for suffering. You know, it's illogical. When you get saved, when you begin to follow the Lord, you will be persecuted. People will persecute you. And I still remember thinking about this. Before I got saved, I had so many people that liked me. I was very popular. You know, not that popular, but I was pretty popular. Anyway, a lot of people liked me. I had a lot of friends. But then I got saved, and I began to enjoy the Lord, and I was happy. I was miserable before, and people liked me. Now I was happy, and people started not to like me. It didn't make sense. They should have said, oh, I'm so happy that Ed's happy. But the devil wasn't happy that I was happy. You see, the devil's not happy when you're happy in the Lord. So we need to enjoy the Lord, and we're in the tribulation in Jesus. Now, B says, as we are suffering today, the Lord Jesus is suffering in us and with us. C says, we enter into the kingdom through many tribulations. D says, by the power of his resurrection, we are enabled to participate in his sufferings and live a crucified life in conformity to his death. Then C says, we should not love our soul life even unto death and should lay down our soul life on behalf of the brothers. 1 John 3:16, and I would add verse 17 here. It says, in this we know love, that he laid down his life on our behalf, and we ought to lay down our lives on behalf of the brothers. Then it says this, if you have the livelihood of the world and you see that your brother has a need, and you shut up your affections toward him, how does the love of God abide in you? You see, if you see that your brother has a need, you need to give of your material possessions to supply that need. Whether he's a coworker, whether he's just a brother or whatever, we need to share the livelihood of the world with the needy saints, with the servants of God, with the poor. You know, I still remember. Ruthie and I, we were very poor at one time, and we didn't know where our next meal was coming from one night. I still remember this. And this sister, she used to live in New York, actually. I don't know where she is now, Dennis, but she used to live in New York, and then she moved to, she was in Houston. And she knocked on our door, and I opened the door, and she came in. She had two bags of groceries. And she just went, she just said, praise the Lord, open the refrigerator, put things in the refrigerator, open the cover, put things in the cover, and said, praise the Lord, see you later, saints. We just, an angel visited us. What in the world happened? She was laying down her soul life on behalf of us. You know, I could never forget her doing that, never in my whole life. That was, I don't know how she knew that we had need. We didn't tell anybody, but somehow she knew. Somehow she knew. Two said, we are joint partakers in the kingdom in Jesus. A says, the kingdom is the church life in which the faithful believers live for their growth in life and transformation in life. Then B says, to practice the kingdom life, we need to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those. Aren't you glad to be with those this weekend who call on the Lord out of a pure heart? Then to practice the kingdom life, we need to care for the sinning brothers in order to recover them. Amen. You know, before when we read this, what we emphasized was tell it to the church. And that's right. There's nothing wrong with that. But it says this in the scriptures. It says, if your brother sins against you, go reprove him between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. So the whole purpose of this portion is to gain your brother. It's to gain your brother when he backslides or when he gets away from the Lord. Gain your brother. Three says, we are joint partakers in the endurance in Jesus. A says we must resist the wearing out tactics of Satan. You know, Daniel 7:25 says about the Antichrist. It says he will wear out the saints of the Most High. And saints, the devil wants to wear you out. He wants to wear you out. He wants to wear out your heart of love for the Lord. He wants to wear out the exercise of your spirit to touch the Lord. He wants to wear out your time that you spend with the Lord. Maybe you spent this much time with the Lord. You used to personally. Then it's this much time. Then it's this much time. Then little by little, it gets lower and lower until you don't spend as much time with the Lord as you used to. I hope after this weekend it goes back up. Amen. Our personal time with the Lord. And our consecration. He'll try to wear out our consecration where we're not absolutely consecrated like we used to be. You see? So don't let Satan wear you out. Be aware of the wearing out tactics of Satan. He wears out the saints of the Most High. That's what he wants to do. Okay, now B says, when we abide in Christ, we keep the word of his endurance and have the endurance to bear suffering and opposition. C says, we can endure with the endurance of Christ that we have enjoyed and experienced. Saints, 2 Thessalonians 3:5 is a good verse to pray. It says, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the endurance of Christ. We can pray, Lord, direct my heart into the love of God. And Lord, direct my heart into the endurance of Christ. He'll say amen to this kind of prayer. He wants to answer this kind of prayer. Now, B says, in order to be rewarded by the Lord to reign with him in his thousand-year kingdom, we need to be saved from the degradation of the church to be his overcomers. One says, we are maintained constantly in God's organic salvation by the continuous and constant cleansing and accusation answering blood of Jesus. Amen. And two says, we are saved from degradation by the speaking of the unlimited life releasing sevenfold intensified pneumatic Christ. And three says, we are saved from degradation by living in our spirit to reign in life. Then Roman numeral 6 says, we need to follow the Lamb wherever he may go to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the whole inhabited earth for the propagation and development of the seed, the gene of the kingdom, to consummate this age. Well, that's the end. Praise the Lord. I made it. Hallelujah. I didn't know it was so close to the end. Okay, very good. You know, saints, I'd just like to say this about following the Lamb wherever he may go. You know, I'm just so thankful. I just have to give a special thanks to the saints, and that includes Bill Lawson here, to the saints who paid the price to go to Russia. They went in the dead of winter. You know, no one goes to Russia in the dead of winter, right? And they went in winter, and look what's there in Russia now. How many churches, Bill?
About 190.
190 local churches in the former Soviet Union, right?
Right.
Former Soviet Union. That's just wonderful. Just wonderful. And, you know, in 1993, Brother Lee asked Brother Andrew, you and I, to go to visit. And it was winter. It was winter. It was the end of December, beginning of January. He said, brothers, I want you to go to Russia. Have a good vacation. We just went, oh, Lord Jesus. You know, have a good vacation in the winter, right? Oh, my goodness. And I still remember, Dick Taylor went too. I don't know if some of you know Dick Taylor. And I roomed with Dick. First, I roomed with Andrew, and our room was so cold that I went into Andrew's room. He had his winter coat on, he had his tassel cap on, and I could see his breath. He was taking a nap. I could see his breath going like this. And I don't know, we just got a cold room, a very cold room. And then Dick Taylor took Andrew's place, and Dick Taylor one time, you know, I shared this with you before. Dick Taylor one time, he sang to me through the wall. In the morning, I didn't sleep all night because of jet lag. And I woke up, you know, I was just like so groggy. And I hear this voice says, Jesus, Lord, you're our first love. Through the wall, through the wall. So I said, you're the one we love the best. And then Dick sang the next. We sang to one another through the wall. We were like two singing bears, you know. Because Dick's big too, you know what I mean? Dick's big too. So, but anyway, I appreciate the Lord's move in Russia. I appreciate the saints. I appreciate all the saints who pay the price to follow the Lamb wherever he may go. That's not just to Russia, but it's to wherever, right? If the Lord leads you to stay in a place, you're following the Lamb. You're following the Lamb wherever he goes. So we all need to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. If he stays in us, we stay. If he goes in us, we go. We go. And we spread the gospel of the kingdom that way to the whole inhabited earth. Okay, brothers, Ricky, I don't know what should we do now, Ricky? Yeah.
How about we have some prayer to conclude? But let's do this way. How about let's call the Lord's name together a few times? Because when you call on the name of the Lord, you're in the kingdom.
Yeah. Amen.
And then let's respond to the word by just one sentence prayer. And then someone else can pray another sentence, and someone else can pray a third sentence, and we pray one corporate prayer that way.
Amen.
Okay, let's do that. Let's call on the Lord's name.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord
Jesus is
Lord.
The seed of the kingdom within us.
Amen.
Lord, water the seed of the kingdom in us.
Amen.
Lord, make us your shining kingdom people.
Amen.
Yes.
Lord,
grow in us.
Amen.
I love these simple prayers. Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, grow in me.
Amen.
So we have a few announcements before we take our first break. First one is these outlines. They're being supplied graciously to us, but there is a suggested donation.